Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about, is it time? Just last night, we were talking with our partners on one of our partners' Zoom calls in the Abundant Life Blueprint, and one of our partners brought up this question. We talk about often, sticking with what we know to do, doing those things that we know to do. But one of our partners asked, there were some things that I knew to do, but I found myself asking God, is this the right time? Is this the right time? Is this the time for me to be doing this? We see Jesus in the scriptures. There were some things that he knew to do, but he said it wasn't his time yet. And this brings up a very important question, because I believe knowledge, knowing what to do, when we get into knowledge, knowledge has a timing component to it. There's a timing component to knowledge. I've actually got a section, we're going to read it today, in my book, The Eighth Day, where we talk about the difference between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And we talk about how knowledge has a timing component to it. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. Ask him for God's help to be walking in the things that we know to do, but also be doing them at the correct time. There's a perfect timing for everything. So we're going to be asking for his help with that today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. Was just doing life on my own without God, doing things my own way. But life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. At the time, I was running my personal training business, and my business started out great, but I got into this time where the business was struggling. I got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. My life is way out of balance. I'm stressed and pressure. And I remember getting to the place where I go for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to live. It wasn't for a lack of seeking or searching, because I've been traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts in the world, been reading books, taking courses, going to seminars, and not just health and fitness, other areas like purpose and leadership and business and finance, relationships. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. And then one day I came across the challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. And then you keep going like that until the end of the month, and then you start back over again. Well, I've been doing this for a while. And then one morning, Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to pass on manuals and lessons and teaching for all the different areas of life, areas like purpose and health and family and finances. But when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek after God, began to immerse myself totally in the things of God. He began to show up and teach me and train me. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. And I just simply began to document what he was taking me through. And it wasn't always easy all the time. I had to unlearn a lot of things. I had to learn a new way of living to break free of some old patterns. And I found myself at times in some impossible looking situations, only to see God just continue to show up and just come through over and over again. And over the course of about 10 years of just recording my journey, it turned into this program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with a series of books and courses and now partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe daily communion is the most important thing. Communion helps us, this is what I call the number one table turner for all of life, helps us to turn things around and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's an opportunity to remember him, to remember our covenant with God. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and honor for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember his sacrifice, all that he suffered, all that he went through. But on the other side, we remember what his sacrifice means for us. how he connects us back to God, gives us this personal relationship with God, this covenant relationship with him. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to make us healthy and strong and give us long life if we take it the right way. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith. So let's get started with our prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us, and let us find grace and favor in your eyes. Expand our borders and our territory. Expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us, so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to God. We're going to bring our relationship with him down into today to impact every area of today. And masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's what we talk about, executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some fun, a good attitude and excitement into them today. But before we go through our fundamentals, let's remember God has a process. When God took the people from Egypt to the promised land, there was a process that he took them through. They had to learn to do things a different way. And in a similar way, for us to step into the promises that God has for us, this was their inheritance, for us to step into the inheritance that God has for us in Christ. I think we got to learn to do things a different way. And very simply, I think it takes believing God's got something better for our life, something better than we can ever ask or dream or think or imagine, and being willing to move forward with him rather than want to go back to our old ways. Learning how to rest and trust, to put off our old ways and to embrace this new way of living where we make him the source. We will learn to rest and trust in him and to allow things to unfold in his beautiful timing. So our first fundamental, how are we going to do it? Let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. And we're going to start with humility, humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. Just simple childlike faith and belief in God. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from him. We're going to walk in forgiveness. We're going to forgive ourselves. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrong, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. Gratitude and praise is so powerful. It's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning. And being in position is a big deal because it puts us in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback throws the pass, but the receiver runs in the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. When we step into the light, we're stepping into Christ, and God has taken everything that he has, and he put it all in him. And we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. We've got access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom. There's health and energy, time, finances, resources, connection, fellowship with God, fellowship with people. It's all available in the light. And we have to learn how to receive this from God and get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the fruit or the result of it in our life. Our first step is to get in position. Our second step, I believe, is to magnify the light. It's going to turn up the brightness of this light. It's going to make it bigger or greater. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart, where we become more fixed and consistent in it. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. And lately, we've talked about two baskets on a balancing scale. One basket full of the issues and problems and testings we face. The other basket full of our praises to God. Which one are we going to focus on? Which one are we going to put our focus and our attention and our thoughts and our words into? To magnify the light, we're going to meditate on it. How are we going to do it? We're going to magnify God's word. Just start praising him, meditating on his word, his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. Every good thing that he put within us. Stay focused on all the things that are going well and looking back at all that God has already done. Because what he started, he's going to finish. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. Simply choosing to focus on the other basket. In the face of issues and problems, we're going to take those cares. We're going to cast those cares over onto God. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those problems. Because we trust that he can solve them a whole lot better than we can. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, magnifying the issues and problems, just letting our focus be off, toiling away in our mind. And that's where we got to learn to recognize the symptoms. When we're out of position or magnifying the wrong things, it's going to produce some symptoms in our life. Might be the tendency to retaliate at people or withhold good things that we know to do. Might avoid people or give them the silent treatment or isolate ourselves. And one of the biggest symptoms on the inside, you feel this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck. And all that weight and pressure on the inside, it just drains the energy right out of you. Emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're dreading things in the future, envisioning all these worst case scenarios. And unfortunately, this can become a habit. This can become a pattern in our life. And we get stuck in these loops, these vicious cycles. They keep repeating over and over. But when we take our position in the light, there's rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And everything, when he goes to work, everything is free and easy and effortless. His peace and joy and mind and wisdom, everything just begins to flow. And now all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. It's learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. I think we start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. And then we start praising and magnifying him. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at me today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me tap into it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level today. You go through that simple process, that weight just lifts off to you. Everything just begins to flow again. And then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned into God today. The other day we said that whenever we begin to magnify, it also begins to amplify When we begin to magnify, we get in position, we start magnifying the light. It's going to amplify God's voice where you hear more clearly from him. Now, my favorite way to stay tuned into him is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are short phrases, maybe a one-word statement that we keep rewriting at the top of our journal every day as a way to reinforce God's standards or his way of doing things into our life. It might look something like the following. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase just helps us navigate throughout the day when issues and problems arise. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position, and then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen, and whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, get connected to him. Think about like plugging in a phone. You're going to get powered up or charged up in him again. And then our fourth fundamental, the one we're talking about a lot today, doing what you know to do. The final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm trying to force things to happen. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out. And the grace was not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. But as we're going to talk about today, sometimes there is a timing component of knowledge. There are things sometimes that we know to do, but sometimes it's not the right time just yet. And how are you going to know that? You're going to have a knowing on the inside. The grace might just not be there yet for you to be able to do it. What do you know to do today? There is a timing component. We talk about, what do you know to do today? There's a timing of knowing what to do, and then, is this for today? So we make out that plan, then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I learned this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? I felt like he was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very first words we see God speak. Let there be light. So I've begun to start my days this way. The very first words out of my mouth every morning, let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing can make such a big difference. Brings a different energy into the day. And then we get connected to him, start praising and magnifying him. We start walking out that plan together with him today, full confidence in him. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our life, bring these good and perfect gifts from above into our life, things that we can never make happen on our own. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our life. So like I said, last night, one of our partners brought this up. There were some things that she knew to do, but she found herself asking this question, is it the right time? And I said, I've actually had some examples of this in my own life. There were some things that I knew to do. For example, when I wrote my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, I knew to get started turning that book into a course where we create videos and audios of the course. But every time I tried to do it, I could never make it happen. I just kept procrastinating on it. I tried to start several times. I could just never do it. And then next thing you know, one of my good friends who was coming into my gym, who was very good at video and audio and all those types of things, he offered to help me do it for free. And it came out much better than I could have done on my own. And the problem was it wasn't the right time. Sometimes there are some people that are supposed to help you. And they got to come alongside. Sometimes it's we got to grow. We got to mature to get to a place where we're ready for something. So it's a good question to ask. There's some things that I know to do, but is this the right time? And so I want to go through a section from my book, The Eighth Date. This is in a section of the book talking about the difference between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And so the subtitle here says, what is knowledge? Proverbs 14:6 says that knowledge comes easily to a man of understanding. So in the book, we talk about there's a progression, I believe, you work through of starting with wisdom. Then we get to a place of understanding, and then that leads to knowledge ultimately. Once we have wisdom and understanding, knowledge comes easily. Because once the first two are in place, knowledge flows. Through knowledge, the book of Proverbs tells us, the deeps break open and our rooms are filled with precious treasure. Wisdom leads to understanding, which leads to knowledge, and knowledge is the key to practical results. Wisdom allows us to discern what is happening in the invisible spiritual world. Understanding allows us to recognize patterns in the world and in behavior, and it helps us to empathize and connect emotionally with others. Knowledge gives us the ability to know what to do at the proper time. Knowledge comes through sensing and perceiving in the physical world. It comes through experience. For example, if I'm working with a client on their health and fitness, we need knowledge to be able to interpret the situation and give them the correct piece of advice for that time. First, there's the knowledge of God and people. To know someone means you know their essence and their character. You know their patterns, their likes, their dislikes, and tendencies. And then there's the knowledge of practical skills. So if I'm training a client in health and fitness, I must know both the client and the practical ways to get results. I must know both who I'm working with and the practical tools and skills to get results. Knowledge also has a timing component. The right piece of advice may not work at a different time. As we're aware and perceive things in the world, we may give a different answer based on the timing of when things are happening. As an example, I used to be a college baseball pitching coach. When I was determining what pitch the pitcher should they throw a fastball, a curveball, changeup, or another pitch? I had to take into account our pitcher's strengths and weaknesses, who the hitter was that they were facing, the situation of the game that we're in, what was the score, what inning are we in, what's the timing of the game, and so forth. All of these would dictate which pitch to throw in any given situation. Wisdom can give us a spiritual insight or a gut feeling that we wouldn't otherwise know. Understanding allows us to understand the psychology of the situation and to recognize patterns and tendencies. And knowledge helps us to choose the correct thing to do at the correct time. So we're going to be asking for God's help with this. Heavenly Father, we've talked a lot about doing what we know to do, but that also has a timing component to it. We're asking for your help today to grow in knowledge of knowing the right timing, knowing what to do, but also the right timing of when to do it. We're asking for your help to grow in that today and to help us with that today. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take a moment to remember. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from him forever. But he chose to send his one and only son. Jesus is willing to come and humble himself on a cross, even unto death on a cross, to be rejected and hit and spit on and mocked and ridiculed, whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. He was crushed by God. He became sin for us. His body was destroyed. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power, the same spirit that raised him from the dead, it now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight, all through his one sacrifice. So Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. His blood cleanses us, gives us this new covenant with God, this blood-sworn oath that God's with us, he's for us, he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's made a covenant commitment to do good for us continually. So, Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. Lately, we've talked about in our physical exercise is just sending signals to the body, signals to get leaner, to increase pressure, decrease pressure, get stronger, increase endurance. We're just sending signals to the body. And we want to create an environment where those signals flow, where they get amplified so that we get better and faster results. Now, what are the ways we start our daily workouts? If you don't have the workouts, you can go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. If you get on our email list, the Daily Communion emails have the workouts attached to them. But one of the things we do in that is we start our workouts with what we call the daily mobility routine. The daily mobility routine is trying to get the body opened up to increase the circulation in the body. And once the body's open, things can better flow. And then we want to do some body weight training, things like squats and push-ups, sit-ups, maybe pull-ups. And what are we doing there? We're moving water around in the body. We're beginning to create the flow. We're beginning to create that environment where the body is opened up. Things are circulating. We're cleaning out the body by moving the water around. We're moving the lymphatic system and cleaning out the body. And now we're creating this environment where those signals can better flow. So the beginning part of that workout, that you call the warm-up part of the workout, is all designed to help us create the environment where those signals flow better and faster and get amplified. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.